Stand together, please. Glory to God. Well, we prayed and sang and hooted it up a little bit. So we're going to come into a new room now. So take a hold of the doorknob and let's go in together. We swing that door open and we enter in to a room that has a collection in it of things that we're going to choose some things from this morning. We're going to take some gifts home with us that we didn't have before. God's opening up His treasure house of understanding. He's opening up to us realms of knowledge and truth that we have not had previous to this morning. We come now into His presence. We've been singing and asking Him and opening up our hearts. Now we're in the treasure room today. And He's going to reveal Himself to us. Amen. There you go. Be seated. Praise God. It's good to I was going to say it's good to smell you, but you wouldn't understand that. But you have a scent. There's a scent, not a sense, but a scent in the house of the Lord. And it arises out of worship, comes up out of the love of God, comes up out of the spirits that are here this morning. Now, every one of you are spirit. You have a tent or an earth suit that covers that spirit. That's our legal passport to be here, is this body. When we lose this body, we lose the authority to be here. We step through to the other side, don't we? So, you have a spirit, and when you came, your spirit affects, it influences. I've heard it many times as my children came in the house. Not every day, but often. My wife would say, "You're not coming into the house with that attitude." Now, what was that? That was something in the spirit of things, the attitude of things. You can feel some people coming, and that's why you hide at Walmart when you see them. Because you don't want to have another conversation like that again, because that wasn't fun. The attitude of our spirit goes ahead of us. Conversely, the love of God, or the love of the love in the spirit that is full of love attracts, doesn't it? And you see somebody that has a loving spirit, you're attracted to that person because they have healing in their spirits. Now, I'm trusting, I didn't used to do this, but I'm trusting you all that are on the phones that you've got your Bible out now. That's your Bible, not your game. Amen. If that's your game, your battery's going to blow up right in front of you in just a few minutes. Praise God. I'm trying to come up to speed, but it's really tough. You know, us old codgers, we don't turn quick anymore. It takes a while to turn. Amen. Just about time I learned something on this silly thing, they changed the whole dynamics of it. I don't know why those guys keep tweeting it, you know, twisting it back there in the little room that they play these little things with. But I just learned how to run one, and then they switch it on me. So that's another story. So we've gathered together in our spirits. Our spirits are here. Now, alongside of our spirit is your angel. And your angel has come with you. Your angel never leaves you. God's given you, the Bible says, the angels of the Lord. But there's angels that are assigned to each of you to get you to your destination, to your destiny, to your purpose. Now, God wrote a book for everyone, every person that comes through the womb, every person that comes into this earth. has a book written for them. And Psalms 139:16 says He's written your life out. Now, doesn't mean He's written your life out like a puppeteer where you have no choice, but this is the desire of God. The Bible says He would that all men be saved and come. That's the desire, that's the plan of God, isn't it? So, when God sent your spirit into your mother's womb and you became a living soul, an angel comes along, and Job 33 says that that angel reads that book to you every night. And you have in your spirit's being reminded all the time. Now, there is a dividing wall called the flesh, and the flesh cuts us off from a lot of this. We don't understand things. We battle it out in our natural realm. We try to live according to the natural things around us. We play the game. We, you know, work the schemes, the systems. We fight with people and all that. And yet, our spirit has a desire to break through into the consciousness to where we begin to understand God. Suddenly we begin to understand there's more to life than, you know, drama and pain and fighting with my family and, you know, just, you know, living it out. I have a goal or a destiny in life called the purpose of God. Now, if you don't understand the purpose of God, then you get hung up in immoral sex, you get hung up in illicit drugs, you get hung up in working too much and neglecting your family, whatever abuse you can do. If you don't understand, God has a purpose for us more than we can even comprehend with the brain. We have to catch it here in the heart. We never understand it here in the intellect. But we sense it. We know there's something. Every once in a while you get a whiff of something and say, whoa, I don't know what that was, but I feel like I've got something to do, something to be, somewhere to go. Hallelujah. One of the worst things we can say is, well, we tried that once, didn't work. So we pull back into a cocoon or into a room and close the door and never have faith again, never begin to see the possibilities again because I'm too old, I'm too short, I'm too poor, I'm too, you know, whatever color or thing you want to put on yourself, you count yourself out. And yet God will never give up. He'll never give up. Aha. Amen. You want to know someone persistent? It's your father who's been chasing you, and tagging you, and nagging you, and poking you. Praise God. Now, before I forget, let me tell you something I've been doing the last 3 or 4 months. You might enjoy it. I take a walk every morning, and it's on the internet if you want to join me. It's called Come and Walk With Me. So it's at youtube.com/faithproducers. I'm there every morning. That's all the commercial you get. I've been having fun about it. I'm on episode number 37 tomorrow, so it's been a lot of fun. Now I want to give you my first session here, section, and it came to me, it came this morning, so let me give it to you. I had a vision this morning, and I want you to step into it with me, please, because I'm going to deal with Psalms 23 in just a moment. But before I do, some of us need to have a change in the way we see and hear and think. Religious tradition, and we all have it because any time you do something more than 3 times, it becomes a tradition. We used to pick on the Baptist and the stained glass windows, and lo and behold, we got some. We could do that when we had Bon Ami on the window, you know, or paper stuck on it so they couldn't see in the storefront. We could do that, poke fun down there. So they are traditional, but we've developed our own traditions. So if we can just kind of step through that for a moment, I want you to do something with me, and I want to take you into the vision that I had this morning. Because out of this, I want to awaken something in your spirits that has not been awakened. And it is the connection and the life of the Spirit of God and the world of God in your world. What's happened in theology and classic Christianity is that they've separated the world from God. So we have people that are in the natural world and people that are in the spiritual world. So we have the spiritual guys over here and maybe the more prominent ones like myself, perfect in all my ways. Thank you for that. I know I'm home when you laugh at me. Okay. And then we have the natural people over here that are slugging it out and, you know, working, paying the bills. But the spiritual people over here are hearing the voice of God and seeing in the revelations. But the natural people over here, they're at the job working and slugging it out. That's the theology that we've been trained in and taught in. But there is only one world. It's God's world. And God's world, the spirit and the natural are together. They don't separate. Now we up here, our Western mind is separated. You go into the Eastern minds, you know, the original in the Hebrew and all that. There's one world, one God, one connection. So let me just open it up just for a moment in the vision I had this morning. What I want you to do with me is going to be just a simple reenactment a little bit. Most of you have a Bible on your lap. Just lay it there and open it up. And then I want you to close your eyes and I want you to see with me that Bible coming alive, and I want you to see the images and the figures and the personality of that Bible just standing up like a cartoon. Now, out of the pages of that Bible comes whatever's written on that page right now. I want you to see they're just kind of standing up. They're coming, standing up and stretching. There's different images, different created beings, different whatever the word may be. There's the image of it. All right. Now that becomes a living panoramic view now of the Word of God that comes alive. It's not paper and ink anymore, but it's living dynamics. And out of that paper and ink then comes the life and the realm of heaven. Amen. Now that sounds simple and it sounds a little redundant because we believe that God's real and all that, but I want you to see it in picture form just for a moment. As you have your eyes closed, some of you have confidence in me that close your eyes and just see that picture coming up out of that now. All right. Now with that in mind, I want to go to the 23rd Psalm. And I want to talk about the living images and the living Word of God. Now, first of all, let me say that the Hebrew teaches us, or the Jewish scholars teach us, that every Hebrew letter is a spirit, a living spirit. Now, let me tie that together with the fact that God doesn't just speak words. He creates beings. Every word that I speak unto you, Jesus said, is spirit and life. Now, we pare that down to, well, it's spiritual and it's living. It energizes me and I feel better. No, it's spirit and it's life. So let's go back just for a moment to Proverbs. Proverbs is a good landing spot. I'll get to Psalm 23 in a minute. That's my next step. Proverbs, we start in chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, through all through into 8 and 9. But we talk about wisdom. Now, wisdom is not just doing the right thing. Wisdom is a spirit. The Bible says that wisdom was with God in the beginning, and by wisdom the world was created. So it wasn't like, well, I've got wisdom. Mike is a senior builder, a man that knows how to put it together. I've seen some of his product. He has wisdom in the area, understanding in the area of building, as well as other things. But fact is, that's not what wisdom is. Wisdom is a spirit. It gives us the ability to do things, but when we see the spirits that God has created, we understand who we're working with and why why we can be successful in this life, because we've got a team of God's realm. Now, I realize I'm taking the chance that I'm just zinging over the top of some heads, but the dew of this may fall on you, so you may get some of it. Glory to God. And I don't mean to say that like I'm smarter than anybody. I'm not. Believe me, I don't understand hardly what I'm saying, but I'm saying it anyway by faith. Amen. All right? So we see the picture of the living Word. Jesus said, "The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life." Now, why is this important? Because I want you to hear Psalms 23 in a minute. Not as a traditional quote when we're trying to comfort the grieving or comfort the sorrow of someone, but I want you to see the life of God in the Word of God. I want you to see the living creation of God. When God speaks, it's not just sounds and frequencies and syllables. It is creatures, beings, and created beings that have been sent to do a job in your life. He sent His Word and healed them. Doesn't mean He just sent vibrations in the sound, in the direction of the sick man. He sent a healing spirit to that person that was created or at least organized and sent. This is why our words are so important. This is why confession is not just a doctrine, it's a living thing. If you don't believe confession, now confession means what you say and so forth, right? We're confessing, we're saying something. I hate you, you ugly woman, is going to affect you when you get home from work. If you don't believe that, you haven't been married 5 minutes. Words have power, but not just psychological. There is life behind words because God gave us the same ability to speak that God has. He gave mankind the ability to create. This is why Adam could speak and create. He created many of those animals. He gave them a name. And when He gave them a name, they became a shape. You didn't have anything to do this afternoon? Look it up. Praise God. So you shape your life. I shape my life by my created words. The Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. They who love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Amen. So, here we are. Things popping out of the Bible. Popping out of the Bible. Living life, living words, images, wisdom. Now, wisdom is a girl, and so is understanding is a girl. Interesting picture to see wisdom as a woman, and has a sister called understanding, out of Proverbs. Why am I parked here for a moment? I want you to catch the reality of God's world that circles you and walks with you all the time. You're never alone. You're never alone. I smoked my first cigarette when I was 5. I smoked my last cigarette when I was 5. The neighbor's boy had a father who smoked, and he snuck a cigarette or two out of his dad's pack, and we went into the shop, in the garage, the barn, and we crawled under the bench, way back under a thick wooden bench so God wouldn't see us. But God gave my Swedish mother a nose, and as soon as I went in the house, I was exposed. And then I laid across the bed. Why, mother exacted judgment upon me. Okay? So you can't hide from God or a Swedish mother. You're never alone. What do you think the word means, the cloud of witnesses? there's a cloud of witnesses. Now, cloud means a whole bunch of them. And they are always watching. They're called the watchers in the Bible, aren't they? You find two or three places in the Bible called the watchers. They're not watching like, you know, some kind of peeping Tom. They're there for a guard. Make myself laugh. That was funny. Now, let me speak to a couple of you right now. They're having trouble with this. Maybe it's, you know, don't care. Doesn't affect me. I just want something in my hand right now. Let me speak to you. When I speak, it's really sticky. And it's sticking to you whether you like it or not. It's like Velcro, you know. And somewhere along the way, you may be in jail or it may be in Yale, either one. You're going to hear this word one more time. That's how the Word of God works. It penetrates into your spirit. I don't say that to be smart, just to kind of remind you that you're getting it, whether you get it or not. Not the intellectual thing of, oh man, I'm going to remember. No, there's the spirit of what I'm sharing this morning is going to walk with you through life. Because the Bible says it never goes void. It'll bring things back to its conclusion. Praise God. All right. So, just want to set this stage for you as we go into Psalms 23 just for a moment. Because I want you to understand the living power of the Word of God. It works on us all the time. So we have our spirit, the angels around us. We have created beings God has made. And we have the cloud of witnesses called the men in white or the men in white linen. And they're all walk and work and work among us. And we also have the saints that have gone on before us. Because, you know, there's only one church. There's a church that's on one side of the veil and the church on the other side of the veil. All the same. God says He's the God, the Lord of the living and the dead. So there's only one church. So all the people that have ever gone on before are still enjoying and rejoicing in the church for today. Bring in some more chairs. We got a lot of people here this morning. I'm just stirring the pot. That's all I'm doing today. Not settling any theological questions. I'm just stirring the pot. And I tell you, something good is going to come out of it. I'm smelling the flavor already. Praise God. Nothing like a soup on the stove when you come in after a long day. I want you to smell the fragrance of heaven opening up for you. I want you to understand when you walk in your house at night, the presence of the Lord is already there. I want you to sense and understand that when you lay down at night, your spirit is receiving the ministry of the Holy Ghost. I want you to understand, let me say this to you. The classic theological teaching tells us that when Adam sinned, God just couldn't stand sin and rejected him. God does not reject sin or sinners. He doesn't separate you when you sin. You know what separates you? Is shame. Look at Genesis just for a moment. I know I'm promising you Psalms 23. Amen. That's job security, you know. Look at Genesis. After Adam sinned, God pursued him into the garden. And the thing that separated Adam was the shame of what he had done. It wasn't the sin. God said, look at Romans 8. Romans 8 says, nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Now, I'm reaching for someone who feels like they've been cut off and God doesn't like you because you've sinned somewhere. Well, sin's not that big a deal anyway. It's all taken care of. God's dealt with it. All you have to do is come out of the bushes. God's in the garden with you right now. Just come on out of the bushes and get this thing back right with things and just embrace Him again, because the Father said He would never leave you, never forsake you, never go away. He is going to chase you and walk with you and follow you and love you and find you, because sin cannot separate you from the love of God. Now that's the message of the cross, is that God sent His Son to embrace the world and bring him back into the Father's bosom. Praise God. God's not some kind of, you know, fussy budget where He just can't stand dust. You know, I don't want any dirt in my house, so I just got to run. Oh, He created dirt. He loves dirt. Come on, just let the love of God bring you back into the fellowship of the Lord. Amen. All right, go to Psalms 23. Hallelujah. You better get a bigger bus, because you've got a lot of people traveling with you, folks. I'm telling you, strap them all in. They're all there for your good. The glory of the Lord is in the house. Hallelujah. Find Psalms 23 yet? I'm just waiting for you. All right. Now, first of all, let me talk to you as a nation, an American nation. And I'm going to give you some instruction. Citizens of this nation, of this state, turn the stinking TV off and stop listening to the news. It's all drama. And it'll change tomorrow. That'll be the first thing before we get to Psalms 23. Turn it off. Because what it does, it feeds the frustration and the fears. The fear mongers keep pushing it in. And we begin to hear things that are not even true, and yet they go out like news. So turn it off. We can be informed in a lot of ways, but we don't have to suck it up like some kind of thirsty guy, you know, after a long day. All right. Second of all, I want to speak peace to a troubled nation and to a troubled people. I want to tell you, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, the first thing that we must have is trust that He is my shepherd. First thing that happens when we walk with the Lord is trusting the Lord. Trusting the Lord. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Trust in the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. I trust You, Lord, today for my finances, my health. I trust You, Lord, today for my steps of a good man or woman or order of the Lord. I trust You, Lord, that You're going to give me wisdom in the midst of it. I trust You. You're going to give me the understanding I need to go through this construction job or this labor job or this math job or this test at school. I'm trusting the Lord for the moment of wisdom and strength and energy I need. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now we're in a journey here in a church, and with a pastor's family, and there's things, emotions that are stirred up. There's an ending of the journey of Sister Maul and all the memories, and then the walking it out and the struggle of all that. But I speak this word of peace to this house. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You see those words coming alive? You see the creation of God bringing the spirit of strength. I release the spirit of courage. I release the spirit of peace. I release the spirit of might. I release the spirit of understanding. And I release the spirit of revelation. Revelation means I'm seeing the big picture, and I'm seeing it different than I've ever seen it before. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I trust You, Lord. I trust You for the timing of Sister Maul stepping through the veil. I trust You for the strength that each of you that are walking through this personally together, as well as emotionally as a body, but I'm speaking a strength and a life to you in Jesus' name. Mike and Teresa, I speak strength and I speak energy to you. I know you've been going just heard a little corner of some of the walk you've been through, Mike, in just the last few weeks, but I speak the living Word of God into your being, into your very bones, into your very cells, into your very blood cells, into your veins, all the things you do to be who you are. I speak a renewed energy into you, and I release the flesh of Jesus and the blood of Jesus as the living DNA of God out of that communion scene that you see right now and you've done 1,000 times. I release it into your body and into your soul, your spirit, and your imagination. Teresa, I release the ability to bridge the gap for this season of your life as you're stretching out and doing what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Living Word of God. I want you to know that Paul said the Word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. It's in your mouth, and I want you all, I'm sending you out here as ambassadors of healing and change, and I want you to know that out of your mouth comes living beings, living words, living power, living reality, and I want you to begin to speak into someone this day, and it can be just as simple as, you did a good job, I like what you do, you have a good dress or suit on, I like your hat, I like your car, I like what, something out of your mouth that is created and will go into the spirit and the heart of that one and lift them in encouragement, and they will feel the strength of it. This is what it means. It's not just for the preacher and the prophet. It's for every person who's breathing air. You have it in your mouth to improve your world. You have it in your mouth to improve your world. You live alone? Talk to the mirror. You gorgeous thing. You are such a wonderful thing. I love you. I love you. Amen. Amen. I do it every morning. I wake up every morning and say, one more day, you handsome creature. We're going to conquer the world. Praise God. It's in your mouth. It doesn't just come, come some kind of little thing we made up. It's the reason God gave us His Spirit is so we could be like Him on earth. We are the sons and the daughters of God, and we act like our Father. We have the authority of our Father. We have the resources of our Father, and we have the backing of our Father as He pushes us out into our destiny. Glory to God. This is the gospel. This is what it means to be Christian, born again, Spirit-filled. I have the ability to give out life. And I release life to this house. I release life to you as citizens of America as we go through these next couple of years, as all hell breaks out against what God wants to do for this nation. Not just politically. The president's the president, and God put him in place. But I'm telling you, he's got a destiny even past this one to the next one to the next one. I'm not looking to escape. I'm looking to fulfill the will of God. Amen. He comes when He comes. He hadn't told anybody, including Jesus. Jesus is a blabbermouth. He'd tell us, so God didn't tell Him. So all the books and all the theories, big deal. I've seen 17 of them fail so far in my lifetime. Well, I'm just going to keep pushing the kingdom, and I'm going to keep trying to understand the next dimension and the next thing God has for the body of Christ and for me. I want to see a development of the will of God in this house and your spirits and your life. I want to see you unfold into the beautiful picture and pattern that God's given you in your spirit. Hallelujah. Word of God, nigh thee in your mouth. Wow, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I see right now I'm not going to finish this verse, so I better slow down here. Hallelujah. Oh boy. Angels of the Lord all over this place. Praise God.
Oh, my goodness. Smell that? That's the odor of your father. As a kid, I used to stick my face in my dad's suits and smell him. I do that with a father now. Just stick your head into his robe and garments. Go ahead. Just take a breath. Breathe in the Father's heart. Ah, be that disciple that leaned on his chest. There you go. Be that disciple that leaned on his chest. Breathe in the scent of heaven. You're not rejected. You're loved. God's never going to run away because you did an ugly thing. He loves you. He brings you. He doesn't judge you. He brings you into correction because He loves you as a father. He brings you back into His purposes. Hallelujah. That's the love of God. That's the love of God. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul. Let your soul be restored today. Come on, there it is. He's pouring water on your heart right now. Let your heart be encouraged. Let your emotions be settled. Let your fears melt away. Let your eyes begin to see the glory and the purposes of God. Hallelujah. This is God's will for you. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. There it is. There it is. The healing Spirit of Christ is just moving among us. And just receive it. There's some physical healing going on. Some hearts that are being strengthened. Emotional healing. Some of your minds have been confused. God's given you clear minds. There's some attitudes you've had that have been bitter. God's putting the sweetness of the Lord back in your heart. Just let it go. Let that thing go. Let God restore your soul. He restoreth my soul, my emotions. He restores the way I think. He restores the way I love one another. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, I've taken license. The Lord told me to read this Psalms 23, and I'm trying to preach it, so let me read it to you. Got to be honest with the Lord here so I can go home. Listen to it now. Just listen to it. Let it be living word, not just sounds. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Now, goodness and mercy are created beings. They're not words. They're living beings, just like angels. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I just seal this word with the Holy Ghost, Father. Seal this moment in time and in place for this house. Let this psalm be our psalm for this moment and this season. We walk through these days of challenge as a nation and challenge as individuals in this house. Let these words be our comfort and our guide. We do trust you, Lord, and have confidence in you in Jesus' name. There's several of you this morning that you can almost feel a dark cloud or a dark hand somehow in your life. You've tried to shake it, you try to run, you know, get rid of it, but it's almost like a storm cloud over you. And I just want you to stand where you are as a signet of that's you, and then I'm going to break that thing and you're going to see a difference. God's going to set you at liberty from something that's been nagging or following or trailing or trying to break your concentration of God's love. Amen. If that's you, just stand. Come on, several of you. I know you're here. Glory to God. Glory to God. Okay. Quickly, quickly. There you go. There you go. Okay. Yep. Okay. We're going to break that thing. You're going to get sleep. You're going to get sleep that you haven't had. You're going to get clear minds that you've been confused over certain decisions. There's some misunderstanding in conversations where you get crossed up. You start arguing or start misunderstanding because of this storm cloud that just seems to try to trail behind or over you. By the authority of Christ, and by the power of the voice you've given me and the station you've given me by the name of Jesus, I break the power and the life that's in that dark cloud, and I break it from them and send it back where it came from, and I loose them from this thing that's trailed or nagged them, and I loose them in Jesus' name. All right. Be seated. If you believe the prophet, you'll prosper. What the Bible says. Believe the word of God that's spoken through the prophetic voice of whoever's speaking or however you hear it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Stand just for a moment, would you? Lord, there's a special anointing for this young woman, and I see it in the old classical King Arthur scene. I see the rod or the scepter of the king touching her shoulder like a knight, being knighted and being promoted into a strong holy position or a powerful position like a knight. And I see her, Lord, as she's kneeling before the king. And the royal robe of the king now, he's placing a royal robe around her shoulders. And she's going to see, hear, and think differently than she's ever heard or thought. And you're going to take her back even tonight as she rests upon her bed. And she's going to have a dream of it. She's going to see it in the spirit. She's going to relive this knighting. The knighting and the authority that God has placed on her and the destiny that God has revealed to her and the power to live it out is going to be manifested in this woman's life in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Never again. Never again. I want you to say that word with me all as a congregation. Never again. Never again. Say it one more time. Never again. Now, why did I have that be said? Because some of you needed to say it to that thing that has tried to nag you. Never again. Amen. The enemy can count to three. I've found that out. He can count to three. You reject him once, twice, three, you'll watch the thing break and loose. Say no to him. Once, twice, three, you watch it change. You watch. You say, no, I don't believe that. Next time it comes around, it'll be weaker. No, I don't believe that. Next time it comes around, you can hardly hear it. No, I don't believe that. It'll disappear. You watch. Because he cannot resist your resistance. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God in every face. Hallelujah. Sounds silly, but do it with me anyway. Put your hand on your head. I'm calling you all prophets now just for a moment. Because you are. You have a prophetic voice. Say this with me. I prophesy over you. And I release the depths of glory that reside in this spirit. I release these eyes to see and these ears to hear and this heart to understand. I release the glory of God in this person. In Jesus' name, I believe what I say and accept God's power in my spirit. In Jesus' name. Glory to God. Do you hear yourself say that? I want you to say it to yourself. I want you to make a note. I want you to say it regularly for a few days and it'll become natural to you. I want you to begin to speak to yourself the things God's put in your spirit. You've had prophecies over you. You've come up through a lot of layers of teachings and preachings. And I want you to begin to dig in it, just like spade in the garden. I want you to take some notes out you've written to yourself. Maybe some prophecies you've written down or someone wrote for you or on tape. I want you to begin to dig in your garden. And I want that glory to come back up out into your spirit, into your understanding. Because you've got days ahead of you that are supernaturally orchestrated and ordained by God, and they've been kind of stuffed in a corner. God wants to bring him out today. And I'm speaking release to you. I'm speaking a release to your mind and to your emotions and to your I'm taking your eyeballs out and putting new eyeballs in. I'm telling you, you're going to see different. You're going to see yourself different. You're going to see yourself different in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Noon. My goodness. Hallelujah. I don't want to be silly or nothing, but the Russians are coming. The Russians are coming. Some of you holy people. Some of you holy people didn't laugh at that, but that's okay. That's tongues, by the way. Here's the interpretation. The glory of the Lord thunders in this house, shakes the rafters, moves the walls, attracts people, changes circumstances, brings out the secrets of God's heart, reveals them to people in this house. The glory of the Lord thunders through this house, shakes the walls, brings people to the cross. The glory of the Lord is here. Whoa! Glory to God. That was tongues interpretation that are equal to prophecy, and I spoke it out of the Word of God in Jesus' name. Bless God, I'm glad I'm here today. Praise God.